Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the ABC Network, The Works, the podcaster's channel, because my guest is a podcaster. And she does a lot more than just that. Podcast is just something that she does and you know, to give information to people and have great exchanges and insights. But you know, it's someone who was got an interesting, you know, concept that, you know, I'm curious about because she is a reverend of metaphysics and, you know, you know, that's not like two different things that kind of sound, I don't know, like almost different, but yet it's the same. So reverend usually is religion, metaphysics usually the almost goes the other way around. And I'm not even clear about that. So we got to talk about that stuff. But really, this is not a religious show as much as it is about, you know, the energy, the spirituality, and all the stuff that we can share in this world. So my guest, you know, she does this work. She helps people. Rose Hope, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm so happy to be here with you. And I love that you brought up this whole idea of reverend and metaphysics and what does that really mean? Because that question actually comes up a lot. I was telling somebody just the other day and I said, "Oh, I'm a reverend." And they said, "Oh, well, I'm not religious." And I said, "Well, being a reverend doesn't necessarily make me religious. Like, what does your definition of religion look like?" And so I actually have a degree in metaphysics. And metaphysics is the study of spirituality. It's the study of our connection with God or divine within us. And so this has been some of my life's work, is to go into that deeper discovery of who we are, why are we here, asking those really big questions. And so as I was taking that degree, it just so happens that with that degree, I got an ordination. And so that ordination allowed me to be a reverend, which allows me to do baptisms and funerals and weddings as well. So that's why, people reference me as Reverend. However, the work I do goes far beyond that title. And so in metaphysics, we believe that all religions are equal. We welcome everyone's opinions and insight because we believe that everyone is on their own journey and discovering their truth of who they are. And so we have great respect for people who are in religious organizations, but we also have great respect for people who do not align with a quote unquote religion, if you will.
Well, thank you for breaking it down because again, you know, my so in my long time ago, you know, in my studies, I mean, we did study a little bit of philosophy and one of the things that when you start discussing philosophy, you always touch on metaphysics and the meta world and I'm not talking about the new meta, you know, now with the technology, it's really the metaphysical stuff, which is the stuff that probably is, you know, woo, like kind of woo, you know, for people because
Yes.
like, you know, this is like spiritual stuff, you know, does it exist? Who we are? I mean, the other realms and you know, different dimensions, and we can talk about energies and frequencies and all this stuff. And you know, in essence, you know, it's rooted in everything that we do in our lives. I think all religions, to a degree, they have a connection to that. And you know, so there is standard stuff that is being, I guess, given to us in terms of these, you know, particular groups. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all linked to, again, the world that we don't understand. And a lot of this world we don't understand. I mean, we only know what we can define through science and physical stuff, but there is the past physical or beyond the physical. And I think that's really the stuff. And the first question that most of us always, you know, kind of wonder about is like who we are, as you and I, we had a brief discussion before this, you know, I mean, like that's a big question. Like why are we here, as you stated, you know, these are big questions for humanity as a whole. And you know, depending on who you talk to, they have different ways of explaining that. Some people say we're just here. Some people say we're here for a purpose. You know, I'd like to believe that there's a purpose. I personally do, but the idea is that it's very interesting. So, like, I mean, before we even, it's just fascinating to just to talk about this piece of it. But like, what got you into it in the first place? I mean, it's got to be something that got you to that specific, I guess, elective, you know, education system or you know, concept of knowledge.
I actually had very much a science mind growing up. I loved science. And so I spent some time going down that science side of things. But I had a couple of experiences that led me into this more spiritual path. And the first experience actually happened when I was just 5 years old. So I was eating one of those round, hard Jawbreaker candies. Do you remember those round, hard candies? And I
Oh.
don't know why they let kids eat those. But anyway, I was eating one of those, and my dad said, "Go sit down before you choke." And I went to go sit down, and sure enough, I choked. So my dad came running over, started doing the Heimlich maneuver. He could not get that object out of my mouth. So I actually ended up going limp in his arms. And when I went limp in his arms, something profound happened to me. I had an out-of-body experience. I floated above my body and my dad. I witnessed my mom running to the phone to call for help, my sister peeking around the corner. Like, I saw all of this chaos happening below, but I didn't feel that chaos. I felt completely held in the arms of God, divine creator, or whatever you call that. I just felt such peace and such love. And so my dad obviously saved my life that day, and he used his thumb, which, by the way, you're not supposed to do. He got it into my throat and was able to wedge it enough in there to get the jawbreaker candy out, and he got me breathing again. But that experience really shifted things for me, because not only did I notice more of my intuition coming to the surface after that, but I also really felt like I had to prove to God or creator that I was worth saving. And so I became this overachiever people pleaser, right? Even by the time I was in grade four, I was the president of the Kids for Saving Earth Club. Like, I needed to prove to God that I deserve to be here. And so that really progressed into going into my first career, which was in EMS and firefighting. So I started out as an EMT working on the ambulance, and I loved it because it was that opportunity to save lives like my father had saved mine. And so that was the inspiration for that career. But because I was so intuitive, because I had already tuned in to like the energy of the world, I started to feel energies that had passed. So for example, I will never forget this one in particular. We got a call and the woman was already deceased, but I had to spend time with the police rolling her and doing pictures and things like that as part of the process. And when I got home, all I could feel was this woman's spirit. And I thought I was losing my mind. I thought, I'm really losing it. Like, are spirits coming home with me? I had like a dozen showers, you know, to just get that energy off. And so these things started to show up, and they had shown up through my childhood too, very lucid dreams. I could predict things before they happened, but I had shut a lot of that away because, again, I was science-based. I was also raised Catholic. And so, you know, you didn't talk about that weird woo-woo stuff, you know? So I had shoved it all away. And so here I'm thinking, I'm losing my mind. I've got to have PTSD or something. Like, I'm losing it. So I ended up going back to school actually to take dentistry. And I ended up being invited to come and teach. One of my teachers said, you belong in the classroom. You got to come and teach. So I ended up teaching at colleges for the bulk of my 20s, and I loved teaching, and it was fulfilling for me. And I didn't feel like I was losing my mind either. But then something else really profound happened to me. I had another near-death experience, like another one. Apparently the first one didn't do enough for me. So now this experience is very different. I'm an adult now. I'm 26 years old. I'm recovering from knee surgery. So I had full reconstruction on my knee, and I'm recovering at home from this surgery. And there was some sort of idiosyncrasy that happened from the medication. We really don't even know why, but I went completely unresponsive. So I was like out cold, nothing happening. And my brother-in-law was with me at the time, thankfully. But I want to tell you guys what I experienced, because it was so powerful for me. And it was such a shift in what really is possible for me. I went to what I can only describe as heaven. I was surrounded by these beautiful energies of light that I believe were angels. And they were the most magnificent colors you can imagine. Like, take the brightest color here and like magnify that. It was so spectacular. I remember again feeling like I was being held in the arms of God, much like my five-year-old experience as well. But this time I was communicating with these energies of light. And I remember expressing, I want to stay here. This is amazing. Like, the euphoric feeling I felt, if every problem washed away and I felt complete unconditional love and peace. Like, it was so magic. And I remember very clearly, I heard them say in my mind, you can't stay here. You have work to do. And so I came back from that experience thinking, okay, I've really lost my mind now, right? And so I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to express it. So I didn't tell my brother-in-law right away about the experience because he was there on the other side of that experience, right? But in the few days after, I just knew I needed to talk about this experience. So I'm telling a girlfriend, I'm still recovering from the knee surgery. She comes over for a visit. I'm telling my girlfriend about this profound experience that I had. And as I'm telling her the story, my brother-in-law was in the other room. He overhears it. Well, he comes running into the kitchen, slams his hand on the counter. He says, "I knew it. I felt the angels too." So he, as a bystander, had an experience as well, because when I went unconscious and unresponsive, he couldn't find my pulse. He couldn't tell if I was breathing. He was about to call 911. And so as he went to call 911, he describes it as these energies. He didn't see them. He just felt them. And he felt these energies come in and they said, "She's going to be okay. Just wait." And so he got down beside me on his knees and he just waited patiently. And he said it felt like minutes, but it was really only seconds. And I woke up with a smile on my face. It was just like everything started up again and back there I was. So what that did for me is it validated the experience. Because, you know, we have these experiences, Hurricane, and really we question them. The ego, the logical mind in us says, "Well, you don't have evidence of that. You know, this happened because of this and this, or that didn't even happen, or you're just making it up," or whatever the story is. And so we tend to not allow ourselves to lean into the magic and the miracles and what is possible beyond this three-dimensional world that we live in. And so that experience really validated for me. I was like, okay, I need to talk about this. I need to get this out and I need to start sharing this with the world. So that was a really big turning point for me in my career, in my life, in my story. Now, a lot of people say like, okay, you had that second near death and now you've got it figured out. I did not. It took me a while. I was a slow learner. So after that happened, and this is very typical, by the way, with near death experiences where you have a craving to go back to that heavenly space. So actually, I felt into a deeper depression. I started playing the "I'll be happy when" game. Do you know that game where it's like, oh, I'll be happy when I have this success and I'll be happy when I have this family or whatever it is. So I was playing this "I'll be happy when" game. I was seeking heaven everywhere but inside of myself. I was looking out there thinking that if I got to these levels of success that I would be happy and I would feel this heavenly euphoria that I had felt before. But it worked the opposite of that. In fact, I felt more empty and more distraught than ever. And I felt like I was failing in some way. So when I had my second child, I was in six months in postpartum depression. And boy, oh boy, I went deep. And in that depression, I felt like it would be better. And I just wanted to go back to that heavenly place. And I really, truly believed in my mind that it would be better if I left. So as I'm starting to think about the plan for me to exit this physical body of mine, I prayed and I said, okay, God, I can only see this one path. You need to show me another path if I'm not meant to take this path. And a beautiful thing happened. I was shown a vision to create a holistic healthcare company. And because I had gone through this journey of health as well, not only depression, but I had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, IBS, all of the things, you know, I struggled with my health a lot. And so I was shown that my experience with my health challenges was really the message for me, the directional signpost for me to create this holistic healthcare system. And so I had this beautiful vision. And the next day I was so inspired. I got up, I started that company. And I built that company up to the point in which I started to meet all these other spiritual healers because it was a holistic healthcare system. So I would meet these spiritual people and they would tell me things about what they could read. And I'm like, this is hocus pocus woo-woo stuff. This can't be real. You know, again, with my science background, I was really a skeptic. But because of that, I actually thought, I'm going to prove it myself, and I'm going to take some classes. So that's what I did. I took a class in something called the Akashic Records, which is known as your soul's library. This is a space of consciousness that we can enter into, in which we can receive divine insight and guidance. It's a beautiful, magical space of possibility. And so I took the class, and let me tell you, my eyes were forever opened. Because what I was shown and what I was capable of doing using this understanding was mind-blowing, And so I started to remember who I was. I started to remember that we as human beings have been innately gifted all of these incredible intuitive gifts, that we have the power within us to communicate in a way beyond what we can see even in the physical. And that is through the energy, the vibration of things. And so that really led me into this beautiful path now where I am. And I'm 100% focused on the spiritual work I do and the spiritual guidance and the teachings that I provide. And I have since actually let go of the holistic company. I actually did a little contest Willy Wonka style and I gifted that company about 5 years ago. And So I let that company go so that I could really step into this divine path of mine. And so that really brings us to where we are now.
Well, there's quite a bit there. So, because I mean, listening to you, I mean, our audience are probably going to be like, okay, this sounds, again, talking about woo. And, you know, it's kind of, it's just an unrealistic word for a lot of people who are like, you know, more logical and science-based and even religious, because I think we can debate, you know, we can actually break it down to different angles, because when you talk about the word of science, if we can measure it, we can add it, you know, it makes sense. And it's logical, then we can use that. It's almost like being in Star Trek and being, you know, from Vulcan, whatever the planet is. Yes. But there's logic, right? But if we talk about religious, we have guidances, you know, and they specifically have different, you know, ways of breaking down certain things, you know, in this world. So you kind of like, you know, between the two angles, it's like you're in the middle of this space, and you know, it's a big debate because it's very difficult to explain it. Now, again, I'm as a person, I'm more in the religious world than that, but I actually kind of balance between science and religion personally, you know, because I think there is a very good synergy between the two and they can go hand in hand, no problems there.
Yeah.
And even in the world of spirituality, I think it is there. It's like, it's almost all these exist, you know, in the same format, in the same system that we have. The problem is we lean to one versus the other based on our own, I guess, inclinations. And sometimes people have different experiences that kind of define how well they go. Now, your story is pretty interesting because it started early on. By the way, I've had a few shows where we have people who have similar experiences and their comeback was just different and phenomenal. And they do different things. And, you know, it is true. We see people in this world that do interesting things that when you look at them, like it cannot be logical. In way, it cannot be physical either. Some people defy, you know, physics and, you know, how things operate, yet they do them. So there is the physical world that is real. And that's the other thing. We think everything is materialistic and we can touch it and feel it. But I think the realm of energy is much bigger than actually the realm of physics. As a matter of fact, even from the physics science specifically, and I think we've discussed this prior in a different show, is that when you look at the basic of matter, matter is empty. 99% of it is empty. It's all electrons and protons floating. So that's the basic elements, right, of what we know in terms of, you know, atoms, and atoms make what we think of as matter. But it's really an empty space, and it's all energy to start with. So everything around us is energy. We are energy. But how we manifest this energy is reflected in, I guess, the material world, the physical, you know, realm. And that's the thing, like connecting the physical with the energy world, and we can refer to it as a soul. You know, now the question is now where it gets a little tricky. You know, there are different people that different about different creation, from the angels to the demons to the spirits. And, you know, these are things. I mean, in your case, for example, the experience that you stated, the idea of someone hovering around you that was already long gone. Now, some people can say, well, people, they go, they don't come back, you know, and there's that. That's one opinion. Some people say, well, I've never seen that happen, so I can't judge it. That's your experience. But the fact of the matter is, like, some people can say, well, maybe you were being misguided. Maybe you were being given the vision from not a a good, you know, energy versus, you know, because again, now, because again, you mentioned Catholic, so there's demonic, you know, behavior and things like that. So there's a lot of that stuff that can be, you know, so it is a difficult place where you are, where you have to really kind of face up to these challenges and kind of break it down to people and how it is without offending anybody. And that's the other thing. People get very easily offended when it comes to these topics because, you know, it's very, you know, people are tight about them. You know, and even when I do these shows, it gets a little dicey because, you know, it's not about the opinion. It's about, you know, what you're sharing, and people have the ability to learn and figure out themselves what this is about. And you know what? It is good for us to learn about different people's experiences, whatever they are, and how they we can learn from that. And that's a big thing. And, you know, so, oh, by the way, one thing I was going to say, I mean, the idea that your father did what he did to save your life, I mean, you know, I hope he's still alive. And, you know,
he is.
Well, listen, you know, it's amazing, you know, and it's very tough to see your daughter or your kids, you know, in that position, and you had to do something to do it. And I guess that gave you, as you said, the inspiration to save lives. And as an EMS fire, you know, unit, you guys can do a lot of that work out there and help. I mean, obviously it's a difficult job, and you see people either dead or in a very bad situation as humans. That's also traumatizing experiences.
Yeah.
But you did it because you felt that you needed to do this work. And you did it. Right. And then you talked about the second experience, which, by the way, as you said, you don't even know how it happened, but you just had almost a momentum where you kind of froze in space and time. I mean,
it's
you
true.
Were just there.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, there is just something that people all have experienced. And I don't care what belief you have, and whether you're a Scientologist, scientific, you know, mind, the logical, mm-hmm. philosopher, religious person, but everybody's got deja vu. We all experience deja vu. Now, that's one thing that nobody can really explain, you know, 100%, because we have discussions and you're like, I've been there, I've done this, I've seen it. What
right.
is that? Now, so this in itself shows that there's more to this world than meets the eye, as they say, right? And so that's just one thing that we all can agree on. Everybody has seen something. Everybody has some sort of a vision, you know, whether sometimes we daydream, sometimes we dream, you know, we have vision when you sleep and stuff. So it kind of changes things, but depends on how you look at it. You try to justify it based on your knowledge base, right? So if you're a particular religion, you kind of figure out the parameters and you can define it according to your own beliefs. If you're completely scientific, you try to figure out the logic. And I love what you said. You did that yourself. you kind of were the skeptic, and you looked at it like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, but yet it kind of did happen no matter what. I mean, you've created a holistic company and it worked. By the way, that's a great thing. I mean, people, we need more holistic stuff in this world, because I think we're going to a world that is kind of weird, and it's been going downhill, you know, in a while now. Hopefully not too bad, but you know, we got to do what we have to do to help. No, and every little thing helps. So whatever we can do to help, you know, in a holistic way, and that's whether it's food, nutrition, you know, medicinal stuff, it's all good, and or even spiritual stuff. And I do believe personally that we all should seek the spiritual level, whatever that is, you know, religion wise or not. I mean, some people call it religion, some people call it, but I think everything is some sort of a religion when you define it, you know, mm-hmm. for that purpose. What it is different, right? We all have different names and practices or tenets to our practices, but it is almost, you know, a known fact that everybody on this planet kind of follows a path, you know, whatever that is. Now, so you gave up, you know, your holistic, you know, company, and you started the work that you do. Now let's bring our audience. What is it exactly that you do in this work? I mean, are you assisting people to kind of feel better or kind of get in tune with their, you know, energies, frequencies, vibes? How do you break that down to people?
A little bit of all of that. You know, my goal is to help people to see that they can create heaven on earth. And it's not outside of ourselves, because, you know, I did that playing the I'll be happy when game. In fact, in order for us to create heaven, we have to lean into the heaven within us. And it requires us to build a relationship with ourselves. So my mission is to show people that if they're a little bit curious, that they can lean into this beautiful journey with their soul. And we do a lot to avoid that. We make all sorts of excuses, all sorts of distractions to avoid going inward. But I will tell you from my experience that going inward was what allowed me to manifest the life that I live now. Going inward was what allowed me to deepen the love in my life, to fall more deeply in love with myself. And this is an invitation that I welcome anybody to go on this journey of getting to know who they are and allowing themselves to see themselves as this multidimensional being. So there's a lot of aspects to us, and oftentimes we get kind of muddled and lost within ourselves. In metaphysics, we have the higher self, which is known as the God self or the God mind, okay? We're extensions of divine or extensions of source energy, and so we have that innately within us. Then we've also got what we call the false self, or known as the ego mind, the EGO, ego mind. And so the ego mind is intact to keep us safe. You know, thousands of years ago in the cave people days, that ego would say, oh, there's a bear, run from the predator. And it kept us alive. But over thousands of years, what has happened is that ego aspect, or the logical aspect of our mind, has actually hijacked us, and it takes over. And it tells us all of these stories and all of these lies that hold us back. It holds us hostage. And I'm going to give you guys an example of this because I want to share with you how potent that ego mind is and how it can convince you of things that aren't even true. And you can probably relate to this. I'm sure at some point you created a story in your mind about someone or something only to find out it wasn't the truth, right? So I was actually working on a degree. So I have another degree in health management and administration. And I was on the final exam of my final class. Like, I was at the finish line of this degree. And I'm writing the test. And as I'm writing the test, my ego comes in and it's like, you're failing. You don't know any of the answers. This was happening because I had failed a previous exam in another class, which I successfully rewrote, but it was still playing in my mind. And so when I finished this final exam, I was convinced, I was sure I definitely failed this test. I get to my car, I bawl my eyes out, like, I am so upset about this. I get home and I email my professor and I say, I know I have to rewrite this exam. Can you please tell me what I need to work on? Because I just want to start studying for it now. Like, I want to finish this degree, right? And my professor emails me back and she says, I don't know whose test you think you wrote, but you got 87%. I had convinced myself I failed when I had 87%. This is how powerful that ego mind is. It gets hooked into a story. And if we're willing to listen to it, it will allow us to play in that narrative. And so oftentimes we have trouble separating ourselves and becoming our own witness. And this is one of the biggest tools that we can do for ourselves and humanity, is to become our own witness, to be willing to step back and say, hey, wait a second, is that actually true? Is that really the story? Or is that story just coming up because of a past experience that I had? And that's the narrative it wants to play. And so the invitation is for us to become that observer, become that witness, and build relationship to these aspects of our being. Build relationship to God, to the divine within you. Build a relationship to this ego mind. And once we start to do that, we start to be able to discern what is true and what is not true. We now get to lean into the power of God, or again, divine, or Allah, whatever you call that. And we get to receive that divine information without it being clouded by the false self. And so one of the techniques that I suggest to people is to give those aspects of you a name, which might sound a little bit odd, but I'm telling you, if you can give your ego mind a name and you can get it to step aside by simply saying, thanks, but I've got this. Oh, thank you. I know you're keeping me safe. You could even ask the ego, oh, where is this really coming from, and get insight for it before you go down the rabbit hole of believing it to be true, right? And so this is the cause of most of our suffering here too, by the way. And so if you can give your ego a name and your higher self a name, you get to become the mediator. You get to take the control back. Instead of letting that ego mind run the show, you now run it. You're supposed to be the boss of the ego, not the other way around. And so once we start to get into this position of personal power, then we start to see more clarity. We start to make better decisions, more aligned decisions. We have less stress, less anxiety, less shame, less of all the things that we really feel are not helping us along the way.
Yeah. Well, so there's a few things there that I'm just curious about, because I'm listening to you and it sounds like, self-believe. It sounds like, being positive versus negative, like, incline yourself towards the positivity versus a positive self. It's almost like, the little cartoons, the good guys and the bad guys floating
around.
Yeah,
the angel and devil on the shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you want to be like, taming one versus the other and leaning towards the better one. But also, it's interesting because I'm hearing you, and I do a lot of, we have these shows that are mental health shows, and from a psychiatry and psychology, it sounds there's a lot of that play here, because I think there's a lot of power of the mind that can make or break someone, and it's how we talk to ourselves. I mean, having that self-talk is powerful, and now you almost put in a bridge towards the psyche, of humankind in terms of like how we have to behave. And it's kind of like, it's amazing. I'm listening to you, but all this stuff is almost like connected. The religious part, the science part of it, the logical part of it, the psyche part of it, the energy part of it. It's all one big, jumbo piece that we have to kind of connect, and kind of piece together. And I think anyone that can pull it all together can have a better life, in this world, as you said, and create a better world for themselves. And as you refer to it, heaven on earth. Now, again, using some of the words, sometimes people can get a little excited. I mean, heaven is known to be this place that is this realm that is beyond us, and it's past our life here. But again, I think what you're referring to is more of a descriptive of like you can have a life that is excellent here, that before you even depart this world. I mean,
yes.
Anyone, I don't care what denomination, what you believe, we all believe that there is a next life. Some people believe in reincarnation, people like purgatory, and there's a good place and a bad place that's awaiting, all the creation, so stuff. But also, you talked about like how there is the divine connection, which means the better self of us, the higher, person that we are. But not that gets touchy, because if we talk in a sense of religion, we are created by the divine. And we are connected to divine, but we're not divine. So there is kind of like that does that. So how you deal with it? Because that's a big, that's a taboo place.
It is. And so I'm not saying we are the divine. I'm saying we're an aspect of divine, and we have direct access to divine. When I was raised in a Catholic home, I believed that God was a man in the sky, and that he was fairly untouchable, and that he would punish me if I didn't do right by him. And so I lived with a lot of guilt and shame in my life. And that actually ate at me. It caused me to get sick. And so what I invite people to do is to redefine who is God to them. Who is that source? Who is that power? And to also redefine heaven to them. What if heaven is just finding a place of peace and grace within our hearts and our spirits, and then letting that be reflected back to us? I get to experience what I consider to be heaven every day, because I allow myself to lean into that sacred space, and then it gets reflected through these beautiful, magical, loving moments and memories and experiences in my life. And it doesn't mean I don't have to deal with the drama and the trauma. I still have those things that show up, but my perception of those things is different, because I perceive those things as opportunities. If we believe that God is in everything, then all of a sudden we start to deepen our compassion. We have less judgment. And now we start to witness that even in those experiences that are not so comfortable, that there is value and goodness in them too. And I want to go back to you talking about like the higher mind being better than the ego mind. There actually is no better than the other. If we look at things from a more neutral perspective, there's value in that ego and there's value in the higher mind, because that ego will also give you so much information and allow you to go through this healing process and this deeper understanding of who we are. So there's an opportunity for us to recognize that we actually get to define who is God. And if it serves us, you keep that definition. If it doesn't serve you, you look at another perspective. And so this invites us to be curious. This invokes our awe and wonder. And this is one of the biggest invitations for the listeners, is to just simply be curious. Can you look at the world through a lens of awe and wonder? I wonder if what she's saying has some merit. I wonder if I lean into this, or if I try this, if I'll discover something new. And so rather than coming at it from this place of judgment, I'm inviting you to come at it from a perspective of curiosity, not so much of what is right and wrong and good and bad, but just simply come at it from a place of curiosity. You know, it reminds me of a story about a farmer. And so there's this farmer, and he has this prize stallion. And one day his prize stallion goes missing. And the village looks for the stallion, and they can't find the stallion anywhere. And so the neighbors go to the farmer and they say, "Oh my gosh, this is the worst news ever. What are you going to do without your stallion? How are you going to make money?" And the farmer shrugs and says, "Who knows what's good or bad? We'll have to wait and see." And so the next day comes along, and guess what? His horse comes back with a herd of wild horses. So now he has a dozen horses plus his horse back. And now the neighbors come and they say, "Oh, rejoice. You now have your horse back and all these horses. Hooray." And the farmer shrugs and says, "Who knows what's good or bad? We'll have to wait and see." And the next day comes along, and the son of the farmer is out training all the horses, and he gets bucked off and he breaks a leg. And the neighbors come over and they say, "Oh, this is the worst news ever. What will you ever do without your son to help you on the farm?" And the farmer says, "Who knows what's good or bad? We'll have to wait and see." Well, the next day comes along, and the army comes to town, and they're taking all the fit soldiers. Well, they can't take the son. He's got a broken leg. So you could see how this story could go on forever and ever. And we have been conditioned to judge these little pieces of the puzzle and say, "Oh, this is what this is, and this is what it is." And we get hooked into whether it's good or bad, and then we suffer in the experience for it. But there's an invitation for us to recognize that even some of the things that we thought were the worst things ended up being the best things. You know, inviting you to think about a breakup or a job loss and how that redirected you and brought you into something really amazing. And yet so many of us get so hooked into this suffering aspect, saying, "Oh, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to or the way it should have." And then we resist what is. And that sinks our vibrational frequency. It robs us of the joy of the possibility and the potential of what could be otherwise.
I'm listening to you, and it's amazing because there's a lot of similarities in what you say in my practice, literally from a religious aspect. And you're right. It's about pondering and wondering and questioning things. And I think the more we reflect on the universe, the more we can find the truth about things and how it's all meant to be a certain way. And I love what you said about the story about the farm. There's a similar story about, you know, Moses, the prophet, in his time, where he actually questioned that he knew everything because he was a prophet. And then he was given, an actual mission to go and find this particular holy man. And as he found this particular man, you know, he told him, "Don't ask me any question, whatever you see, because you're not going to be able to until I tell you what the story is." And equally, there was a story there where he destroys this little boat. And he's like, "Why do you destroy this boat?" And he says, "I told you not to ask." And then at the end, one of the answers, like, "The reason I destroyed that, there was a king that was taking all these boats, you know, from the fishermen. And by doing this, this particular family that was pious will keep their boat." So it's very similar stories, you know, that, and it's an interesting, like, hearing you. It's like, and also for people that are watching, at least are listening, you know, I think everybody should, if not even a mandate, to question things, you know, and for themselves. And I mean, if you look around this universe, we are very, very tiny, you know, yeah, as beings. And, you know, there's more to this universe than we think. I mean, I love, you know, the science and the stuff about space and the cosmos and all the stuff. And, you know, when you start looking how, I mean, even when we fly, right? I mean, I've always given this a simple example. You're like 36,000 feet in the sky. You cannot see a human being, even if you wanted to. You know, that's how tiny we are. And, you know, it's really, and then if you go further than that, the Earth is just a speck. I mean, even the galaxies will be like, you know, according to the best of the best science, you know, minds today, you know, we haven't even discovered the full universe. We have just the seen universe or the known universe. So there's a lot more of this stuff, and what's in the universe and all the energies and how all is connected. And I love what you said about how there is no coincidence. Everything is happening for a reason. we think what something is happening bad only to realize 5 years later that it was the reason why you are where you are today. By the way, this happens. I know you mentioned something about work, spouse, whatever. These things do happen. I mean, you lose a job because it's meant for you. You know, if you stay there, your career is done and it's not going to be the best thing. And maybe by losing that job, you start a business and now you flourish. And by the way, a lot of people who have succeeded in the world and have tremendous, you know, influence today in some businesses, they've started and they've failed a couple of businesses or even at jobs. They were fired from their jobs because they were told that they were not smart enough or creative enough and so on and so forth. And they did it. Many people move from one, and it happened. We don't have to go far. I mean, I've had these discussions, you know, throughout the pandemic and post-pandemic. A lot of people, somehow their life changed in the pandemic. It was a bad time for everyone. Uh-huh. But yet some people kind of took that and, you know, and kind of revamped their lives and they have a whole new life today. You know, some started businesses, they were working in a dead end job and they have now flourished and they're entrepreneurs, you know, and making millions. So you never know what is good for you. But I love what you said, the idea. And by the way, when I give the descriptive about the two, that's more cartoon stuff. I don't particularly believe in that, but there is that yourself that is positive, as you said, the one that is reinforcing. There's definitely that demonic, or I'm just using the word, or evilish, you know, sound that is always like telling you to do bad things. And that's for me a perspective. But the fact is, you do need the balance, because sometimes without knowing that, without kind of being in tune with that, you're not going to see the positive. Like if you hear something that is telling you, like, well, you're supposed to, you know, do bad things. And you're like, no, I'm not going to do bad things. I mean, sometimes we have these discussions with our own selves, right? You know, how many times, listen, I think everybody on the road, you know, drives the car and you feel like coming out of that car and just beating someone up. I'm sorry.
Right?
You know,
yes.
You know, at the light, someone honks on you, whatever, but we don't do it. But that voice is like, hey, you know, you got to do stuff. And then you got the good voice, which is, again, it's really you that is having that big debate. And the more you nourish, I guess, the positive of you, the mind, the energy that is positive, the better you're going to be. And that little thing is not going to be overcome. But it is like a check mark, like almost a checklist, a checkpoint, something that it's like that red light in the car, the engine light.
The engine light, yes.
You know, it pops in, it's like, now I'm there.
Ding,
is that.
Ding, ding. Yes. And that's a big part of our ego mind, is to like raise the alarm bells that there's something more for us to learn or discover or to investigate, right? And yeah, you know, this idea of like, you know, that bad voice saying, oh, do the bad thing or whatever, you know, I think that a big part of that is for us to experience the contrast. For us, we live in a dualistic world, you know, light and dark and good and bad. And so it allows us to learn. It allows us to grow. If everything was roses and butterflies all the time, do you think we'd be evolving the way that we're evolving? Probably not. Because there would be nothing that would challenge us, that would invoke for us to be curious, to unpack all the layers of the lifetimes or this lifetime and all the traumas and dramas and things that we've been through. So it is a really beautiful perspective when we can see that there, again, is value in all things. And our job is to squeeze the value. Our job is to say, what's in that for me? What's in that crappy experience that I just had that I wasn't so happy about, right? And inviting us to receive the value of that. And if we can start to do that, I really do believe that we as a human race will start to have that deeper compassion for one another and start to recognize that there's a much bigger story here, that we just can't see all of it.
No, it's amazing, but you're touching on something even bigger here, because the idea of us understanding the two realms, the good and the bad that exist in life, and like I said, the world of duality. Because without hunger, you're not gonna feel that you need to eat. You can starve to death. Without pain, you're not gonna be able to protect yourself. So pain is an interesting thing, because it gives you the balance. As you said, if it's not dark, you might not want to sleep, and it's gonna affect you. So all the stuff is happening. Without rain, you're not gonna miss the sun and the beautiful stuff. You know, when you look at all these things that we see that they're dark or bad, they're there to actually kind of as a guide for us to actually appreciate everything else that's positive. And, you know, most of us, if we don't reflect on these things, we might not even see them, you know, but the more you start thinking about like, oh, wow, well, without the bad days, you're not going to appreciate the good days. You know, it's like if you don't feel, if you don't feel hunger, for example, you're not going to feel bad for someone who's really poor and right? not eating stuff. How would you even relate to them, right? You know, when you have pain, you know, and you see someone, you're going to like, oh man, I feel bad for them. I know what they're going through. You know, so sickness, illness, you know, bad relationships. I mean, sometimes those bad relationships teach you all the stuff that, you know, now you can find a better person. But but I love it because if you start doing this, as to your point, you can be enlightened enough that now you can have much better experience because you know what to avoid. You know how to create a better environment for yourself. And in a sense, you know, it's like being in heaven, you know, meaning, although, I mean, again, that's a big word for a lot of people. You know, we cannot comprehend what heaven looks like and stuff. We have all our vision and views of what it looks like. And it's this beautiful place that everybody is longing to. Because I don't think there's anyone on this earth that may not have lived or will live that would not want to be in heaven.
Right.
I mean, just the descriptive that we all have. I don't care what belief you have. We have this beautiful picture about heaven, right? And, you know, you go to an island that is beautiful and you're like, oh, this is like, you know.
Feels pretty heavenly, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we use the words. But I mean, I could just imagine that, you know, and I know, at least from my own belief, that place is something that we can't even imagine. That's how beautiful it is. Yes. I think we are not even up to level to imagine what it looks like and what it will look like for us when we transit to that world. But you're right, you're still here, you know, there's no reason for us not to be there. And there is that practice. As a matter of fact, even from a religious, you know, perspective, you can, by being in a higher place, by you know, really bringing your better self, you actually don't need much in this world and you can still be happiest on this earth and everything becomes beautiful. And that sensation is not easy to attain. I mean, that's the problem, you know.
It's
you
a really practice. Have to elevate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a practice and I still have to practice at it every day, even though I've lived and walked the talk for over a decade now doing this work. So, you know, it is something that I have to practice it. I mean, I was driving the other day to go facilitate a workshop and I got stuck in traffic. And right away I was like, oh, I need to get where I'm going. You know, I could feel that angst, right? You know, and then I quickly was like, oh, wait a second. I'm in a comfy, warm car. I got music. I get to sing. I get time alone without my kids momming me. This is awesome. And so I sat back and relaxed and I enjoyed the music and I sang. And that to me was creating a moment of heaven for myself in recognizing that it was my perception that was causing me to be in this angst and be in this, oh, I need to get to where I'm going and da 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 da. Instead, I surrendered to what was, and I allowed myself to lean into what is going to bring me more joy in this moment. And as soon as I did that, it switched, and I sat back, relaxed, and before I knew it, traffic was moving again.
I think everybody watching, I don't care what part of the world you live, this scenario is very familiar to all of us. And you know what? Sometimes I look at people who are in a rush, going crazy, you know, honking and stuff like, what do you think you're going to be? You know, you're going to be a minute ahead, maybe 2 minutes ahead. That's all there is. Your risk of maybe in an accident or maybe in a rage, you know, fight or whatever is higher. And for what? I mean, by the way, you don't even know that maybe if you had gone faster a minute, you could have been in an accident. You know how many times I've actually been near accidents? You know, I'm the first car or the last car before an accident happens in front of you or behind you. I can say at least five times where it was that close. You know, like I felt the impact of the other cars around me.
Wow.
And I've seen it. I mean, and by the way, no joke. I mean, there was one time I was driving and the road was just there. All of a sudden, three cars flipped and like hit each other and flipped in front of me. Another time I moved literally and I hear this big loud boom. I look in the mirror and a car just got dismantled behind me. It was literally the next car in the road, but you know, after my car, my wife, this true happened. My wife literally was under an overpass and a truck fell in front of her on somebody else's car. You know, I mean, these are real, by the way, folks, this is not a joke. What I'm telling you, these are three stories of near misses, as they say.
Yeah.
And you don't believe it until it happens. Many times you don't know that last step, that 1 minute, that whatever it is, you're protected somehow and you don't make that leap and boom.
Yeah.
Had you made that feisty energy, I'm just going to go crazy. You're done.
Who knows? Yes. And you know, I've got so many stories about this where it's like I got delayed for some reason And then, you know, that delay was just enough for me to now be driving by the accident that had just happened instead of in the accident, you know? And I think this is where we start to get into the magic of the world and like what is possible for us. Can I share another story just to kind of bring, I want to bring this in. In fact, I feel like there might be two here, but I used to have a house down in a place called Mulegé in Mexico. And this is like a little village. It's not touristy, like we're in the middle of Mexico, nowhere, okay? And a local villager had told us about this beach with all these seashells of all shapes and sizes. And so he drew us this little map and we're gonna go on this adventure. So my partner Dan and I get in the truck, we go and find the village, we find this what is not really a road, but it's like a sand path. And so we drive for 20 miles. And eventually we come into this beautiful beach, sure enough, seashells everywhere. So we get out and we collect the seashells. Now, I have to tell you, it's plus 42 degrees Celsius, which is like 100 million degrees Fahrenheit, okay? It's hot, okay? Like stifling hot, okay? So we collect these seashells and we hop in the ocean, cool off, get in the truck to leave, and the tires are spinning. We can't move. And so we get out, we try and dig ourselves out. Like, again, we're in the middle of nowhere, okay? There's not a soul to be seen, okay? Nearest village, 20 miles through the desert and through mountainous desert, and it's plus 42, just to put in perspective. So I pull out the cell phones, no service. So now I'm panicking, and especially because I watched Narcos Mexico the whole flight down. So my mind goes to the cartel finding us and killing us for sure, right? Which is the illogical fear. But then I start to realize I'm like, 20 miles, like we're far away. It's plus 42. We have very little water here. So the reality check, you know, starts to check in here that like we're in a really serious situation here. I don't know how we're going to get out of it. So I'm putting together some water. I don't know what we're going to do. My partner, Dan, continues to try and dig us out and, you know, lower the tire pressure, like all the things. And we just keep getting more stuck. So I took a breath. And when I took a breath, I heard in my mind to start walking. Now, I don't know where this message came from, call it God or divine or what have you. But I heard the message, start walking. It didn't make any sense for me to start walking at the time, but I thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to listen. So I packed up the water. I said to Dan, I said, I'm going to start walking. You keep doing what you're doing and just try and catch up to me. Cause like, we got to start making tracks here. And so I started to walk. And as I'm walking, I'm praying, I'm saying, okay, God, send me an angel. And I'm thinking like, how is that even possible out here? Like there's nobody out here. And a few steps in, Dan catches up to me and we turn a corner down a road. And so we're walking along and not more than like 10 yards away from the corner we turn, over the horizon comes a white 1-ton dually pickup truck with a winch on the front of it. Now you have to remember we're in the middle of nowhere and exactly the vehicle that we need to get out miraculously comes barreling down the road. I said to Dan, I said, am I making this up or is this a mirage? Like, is this real right now? Because it didn't even make logical sense that there would be anybody out there and especially what we needed to get out. So anyway, sure enough, the man pulls up. He says, what are you guys doing out here? Like nobody's here. Like I shouldn't even be out here. Like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're stuck. And so he came and he saved the day. The moral of the story is this. We can choose to listen or not, but we have a beautiful inner voice, an intuition, if you will, that direct connection to God or source, again, whatever you want to call that. We have this in us. And I'm inviting you to think about the times when you heard this inner voice inside that said, go this way instead of that way. Slow down. Do this. And it was right. Listen to that because it's guiding us and it's showing us what is possible. Had I not started to walk when I did, we would have never seen that truck. We would have never seen that truck. And so this is the power of what is possible when we're just willing to even listen a little bit. even just a little bit, creating the space for that intuitive guidance that we all have. Everybody has this. It's just our freedom of free will to choose whether or not we want to listen. And I got to tell you, the more I listen, the more profound and beautiful my life gets.
Now they refer that to as the sixth sense, right?
That's right.
You know, intuition, gut feeling. It is real, folks. I mean, how many times you don't feel right about something, and rightfully so, you don't make a move, and then things don't happen the right way in that whatever that feeling you had.
Right.
A lot of people tell you if you even in the police work, intuition plays, in the business, intuition plays, in situations, intuition plays. As you said, that voice, that thought that came, or voice, or whatever that, you know, we can define it, it happened at the exact time because there's something that's happening closer. And as you said, had you been a minute later, you would have not seen that truck, and the truck would have not seen you, and they would have passed. You know, things are, folks, it is a fact, you know, and again, without even being religious or anything, things are going to happen the way they're going to happen. There's a design. We have to kind of really almost like be a dish, you know, and just get the frequencies, receive. And the stuff is all around us. And by the way, I'm a religious person, believe it or not, you know, and I, you know, I believe in what I believe in, but these are things that I can apply in my own belief, and they're real, and they can apply. I see them and they manifest, and these things actually happen. It, you know, anyone, doesn't matter what part of the world, you know, these things are not new. You're not hearing something that hasn't happened or you haven't heard before. Listen, I've had a similar experience. I literally got caught in a riptide years ago. I was 18 years old. We were surfing and I got caught. I lost my board. And that was it. I was literally, you know, 2 hours in the water thinking that this is the end. And, you know, I don't know. By the way, this is historic because this was overseas in Morocco. And the odds of you getting a rescue helicopter, you know, 30 plus years ago, would have been almost impossible to even imagine. And I didn't get one. I got two of them come up.
Wow.
And it just happened that there was literally a princess, you know, in a vacation home, and her soul, her security, you know, sold a lot of, you know, stuff. They questioned what's going on. And we were literally in a proximity place, and they called the rescue team to come on, which they don't come out. And wow. I was literally winched up, you know, just like you see in the movie, you know, with the Coast Guard. And, you know, here I am, like, you know, almost 30 plus years back. I mean, 36 years later. But the fact of the matter is these are real things. And by the way, at the time, you know, it's like my mind wanted the helicopter. I mean, that's true. Like you almost want it and you believe that it's going to happen, but you don't know it's going to happen. And there's no guarantee. And it never happened before. And these are just things. I mean, that's my personal experience and I'm sharing. But I mean, those things, I know as people watch and listen right now, this show, you can probably enumerate a few instances that it happened to you or someone that you know. And some people believe in it. Some people don't believe. But it is happening. It is. We part of a big system. And there's a lot of stuff around us that we don't even comprehend. And you're right. Like some people refer like angels, I say. Like you can see sometimes, you know, people get, you know, they stop and then something falls. And, you know, it doesn't touch them. They move, you know, once again, they stop. It happened to me one time. I was almost got hit by a bus. Literally. And I somebody called, I stopped, and the bus went right through. I was going to walk right into the front of the bus. I mean, you know, guys, I'm not just the hurricane just being on the show. These are real experiences. And you probably can have your own as an audience if you start. But the thing is reflecting on like, you know, when something happens, we take it light. When something happens, we should question like, how, why, what happened? You know, sometimes you don't even have an answer. It just looks like, wow. We don't have an explanation, but there is something that happened. And you know, again, talking about that sixth sense, like everybody has one.
Yeah.
You know, you walk in the place, doesn't you look around, this is not good. And it's maybe a good point for you to back, not you know, go right through. And or any situation, even businesses, right? You know, yeah, people have ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. You know, we don't just get ideas. Somehow you get the idea. That idea is almost implemented. It's almost downloaded to you somehow.
Yes. The divine imagination, I call it. Yes.
But isn't that real? I mean, like, you know, someone's like, oh, I'm smart. No, trust me. None of us is that smart. You know, we can be IQ, I don't know, 180. And I don't know if I don't think it's high enough. But the fact of the matter is you get an idea. Somehow it just pop, it's a eureka moment. But like, how did it happen? Like, you know, you wake up like, oh, you know, let's do this. Many people, I mean, all these inventions we have, these people did not just kind of, you know, figure it out. They wake up and like, oh, it's time for me to do this or the other, or, you know, and believe me, whatever you're doing and it's contributing and it's becoming part of this world, somehow you've been given that skill, even skills. Some people are just skilled in a lot of areas and others are not. We think who gives him that skill? An artist comes in and starts putting stuff and you have a beautiful thing. Like, how did it happen?
Yeah.
And by the way, some people don't even go to art school and they put
and
stuff.
They're it's true. You know, I think this is so special because it really reminds us that there is this force beyond us that is helping us and showing us the way. And our job is to start leaning into trusting in that divine force and to allow ourselves to understand that we are being looked after. You know, I have a quote that says, in every given moment, you have everything you need and then some. And if we all started to believe that, we would find a lot more peace in our lives too. But I understand that it makes it hard when we live in this conditioned world that says, oh, we need to have this and it looks like this and be this and show up like this. And so there's a little bit of what I would call deprogramming for us to work on so that we can receive so much more abundance and we can start to lean into this ability of manifesting, you know, the lives that we desire and for us to build this deeper relationship within ourselves. And I really feel like that's part of our purpose here is to evolve, to simply evolve. Like, what if that is the purpose for us to grow and learn here? Because the more that we evolve, the brighter we shine. And the more we give permission for other people to do the same thing, you know.
Our tagline is time to evolve.
I love it. it is.
But you know, I love what you said about, like, you know, we can, and by the way, evolve here is not, we're not talking about Darwinism and stuff, you know, I mean, for, you know, that's another type of evolution, but we're talking about evolving in the spiritual realm, like, you know,
in the consciousness realm.
Exactly. Yes. Being a better person, being a better energy, better. Yeah. Cause that stuff really spreads fast. I mean, positive energy, you know, you cannot miss it. If someone walks into a room, the aura is strong. You know, if they're positive, you just kind of feel something.
You can feel it and you get pulled to them too, right? There's some people that you just feel magnetized towards, right? And so oftentimes it's those people that have something figured out, you know, they're not allowing themselves to get swallowed up in the fear and in the worry and the anxiety that, you know, much of society is getting swallowed up in.
You know, on that aspect, I mean, believe it or not, if you talk to religious people, you know, like, you know, figures, or people that are very religious in practice in general, they tend to be at a higher level in the first place because they are already in tune with a lot of it. And by the way, it doesn't matter what, you know, believe, but the idea is that they kind of go beyond the obvious. They actually have better tolerance. They have a much better, you know, patience. They're a lot more at peace. They can really be good of an assistant. You know, they're not anxious. They're not really, you know, too like negative. It's all about the positivity. And it is really, again, talking about the connection to the divine, being at a higher being yourself. But you put that up, you know, you pump that energy up as being, the more you pray, the more you get closer to the divine, to the end, to God, right? To the creation. I mean, not creation, the creator. You know, you're always going to get to a level where, like, you're going to be higher than most people who are not. You know, and you're going to see things differently than the average person. What you're doing is really tapping into that energy, that connection, and making a difference in your life. And certainly the people around you will feel a lot more peaceful. You will, when you walk into a room, you're not, people are not going to feel like, oh, this girl, you know, like, oh, wow. You know,
And
imagine if everybody was like that. I think this,
oh gosh, we wouldn't want to be hanging around with anybody. Yeah. I think there's like this beautiful power in that, because again, like I said, when we allow ourselves to vibrate and lean into this building, this beautiful relationship with ourselves, what happens is we naturally will evolve the people around us because they're looking at us and they're saying, I want more of that. I want to lean into that. And so it's like an invitation for people. You know, if we want to change the world, we've got to change ourselves. We've got to work on ourselves. Because what will happen is that you will become the reflection for other people and what they really want in themselves as well. And so it's a beautiful process when we look at that and we say, okay, if I want to change the world, I've got to change myself and I've got to allow myself to grow and to evolve. And in doing that, again, we give permission for other people to do the same thing. And we invoke and inspire them to be able to lean into what is possible, right?
It's amazing. I'm listening to you. And, you know, what you stated in here is really the ultimate target that should be all of us, right? You know, we all have to seek that level when, if we can do that, if we can walk into a room and really be the inspiration, the motivation and the energy, and you know, we can make, you know, change. But you said it best, is that none of this happens unless we change what's within, right? We have to remove ourselves from the negative and bad energy and, you know, get just to the positive and the higher power and the higher energy. And that will literally just in itself be eminent in your, you know, your surroundings, and everybody will feel that, and you'll be that. And again, society is what? A bunch of us. So right. If each one of us makes a difference in themselves, we're all going to be better and better, and that's all there is, and it will be a chain reaction. And that's the thing, like, nothing changes, you know, in the wholesale sense. You change the retail, right? The elements, yeah. Right? You know, it's all, again, we're talking about the basic atom, right? One individual at a time. And even in these shows and stuff, the messages are like one person at a time. And when you're talking about, you know, by the way, there's a movie that I always refer to as The Matrix, right?
Yes. You
know, I mean, The Matrix is pretty powerful in the concept. Is. You know, there's a lot of questions that The Matrix brings to the surface. Is this world real? Is it not real? I mean, what it is. But believe it or not, when you start analyzing it, it's deeper than you think. This is deeper. And it opens up your eyes to, like, this world is more than what we are. It's more than what we see. It, you know, it's like, you know, it's like having that pill now. And, like, when you start opening yourself up to the, wow, you see the world differently than the average person. You know, and you never see it the same way. Anyways, once you open up, you can't even switch that
you
back.
You can't back. There's no going back.
There's no. Well, I mean, like the guy in the movie where they give him they put him back. You know, they promise him to put him back into the Matrix and give him the money and stuff. But you know that's a movie, of course, folks. But the idea is, like, once you know the truth, you know, and you are, like, really in this, as you said, abundance, why would you give it up? I mean, you can't. I mean, you get to a point where it's like, ooh, this is good. I'm in the best potential level that I can be. And by the way, there's never the end. You can always keep increasing. But you get to a point where, like, nothing phases you. You know, you're at a better place. You know, people can get excited. You can always kind of diffuse that. You know, you're not really in, you know, so you're in again, and by the way, there's a lot of discussion on meditation and Zen. And these are all things that kind of tie into the world that you're in. And when we talk about spirituality, there is meditation, there is Zen, there is, you know, feeling, you know, in that, there is less, you know, negative, there's less being mad and angry at people and stuff. You know, you control those things. As you said, you could have literally got excited about that delay. Well, like, okay, you looked at everything that was happening that is positive, right, as opposed to what was the negative, and that's all there is. And that's the thing. We don't, you know, sometimes take the moment like, well, it is happening, I can't change that, but let's make the best out of this.
Let's choose something differently. We have the conscious choice. We have the power of free will. It's one of the greatest gifts we have. And I'm not saying don't hold space for the anger and the frustration. We still want to honor those emotions. Again, remember, it's our perception that makes them negative. And so we still want to hold space for that. You know, I had an experience this summer. I was really sick with pneumonia. And I recognized that it was layers of grief. You know, I had lost over 20 people in my life that I hadn't grieved their deaths. And so I had all this grief. And so that pneumonia was the alarm bell that said, hey, you need to look at what's going on here. What have you not dealt with? And it was grief. And so what I do is I hold that grief lovingly. I oftentimes I'll even hold my hands like this, like I'm holding a sweet little bird or a bunny or something. And I'll say, hey, grief, you know, I see you. It's very sad that you're back again. What are you here to teach me? So I actually honor that energy. I see it and I hear it, because energy, they're just like children. They just want attention. They just want to be seen and heard. So I hold space for myself to be frustrated or angry. I hold space for that. And I ask it what it's teaching me. I invite it to show me. And in doing that, naturally, what happens is that energy is not so heavy and dense anymore. It's not so overpowering anymore, because it says, oh, okay, good. She sees me, she hears me. And already it's not as heavy. Already it starts to alchemize or to shift, because I'm honoring and holding space for that. It doesn't mean I'm going down the rabbit hole and feeling it more. It just means I'm saying, hey, I see you. What have you got for me? What is this teaching me? What is it showing me? And even if the answer doesn't come right away for me, I've now opened up that opportunity, and already that grief is dissipating for me. It's not holding me hostage anymore. So again, there's that invitation for us to still hold space for the things that we perceive as not so good, or the energies and the emotions, but then to also from that place then consciously choose, okay, do I really want to feel this way? Do I really want to feel angry about a thing? Do I really want to feel resentful? And if the answer is no, then we can say, okay, what do I want to feel? How do I want to look at this? And then that opens up the possibility of looking at it from a totally different lens or angle. And sometimes all we need to do, folks, is like step to the side just a little bit to see a totally different angle. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I get it. Now I can see. So yeah, you know, it really comes back to this opportunity that we have with the power of our free will and the conscious choice we have to choose how we show up in the world and choose how we respond to the environments around us. And there's great power in that, and we all have it.
You know, it's amazing. There's a couple I want to just throw in there. One is you're referring to like being really aware. I mean, you are aware of the situation. You address the situation. You're right. You know, the negativity is going to be there, but how you deal with it is the whole concept. Some people feed it. Some people not just absorb it. It's like, again, in martial arts, we can, like in Aikido, for example, you just take the energy. You don't have to strike. You just take it with you and flow with it. And that's exactly what you do. You absorb it. You know it's there, but you control it, because now it's not, you know, too heavy. And when you move with the flow of elements, I mean, again, I mentioned rip current. One way to save yourself from rip current is to go with it and slowly swim to the side. But if you resist it, you're done. And that's the same thing. This stuff is going to happen around us. Those energies are going to happen, and how you kind of maneuver through them and with them, you'll definitely can be better. And it's funny, because there have been studies of energy, even, you know, with water, with plants, and, you know, even the way you talk to plants or to water, they've tested these things, and they actually did manifest differently. You know, the waters that were mistreated, they became bacteria infected and stuff. The waters that were really well, you know, given the right positive, you know, influence, they were fresher waters. Same thing with the plants. These things, you know, and by the way, someone can say like, oh, come on, people, I'm tired of this, is not science. You know, science is only the education, the way to discover things. Basically, there's an observation, and there is an actual process of elimination of why it's happening and how it's not happening. And we just basically dissecting things to see how they work in different environments. But it's really research in with after you observe an event or some sort of a thing or item, whatever it is. So it's the method, right, of science, is that you got to look at something, and you break it down, and then you see outcomes. Well, you know, you can do that to this event too, and you can scientifically break it down as well, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not so much logic, it's really break it down to mathematical equations if you have to, and you'll find that as well.
You will, you know, we are now gaining such understanding, and I'm not going to explain this particular experiment, but look up the slit experiment. And the slit experiment will actually show you how we can actually perceive things, or how we perceive things differently. And it ties into quantum entanglement. So like everything that we're talking about actually has scientific root in it. And I do believe that there's this interweaving energy of science and spirituality that is starting to come to the surface for us so that we are starting to understand the vibration of things, the energy of things, the power that we possess within us, the gifts that we have, and how connected we are on a consciousness level. You know, there is this universal consciousness, right, that, you know, is so powerful, and yet we have this separateness in humanity. And I do believe that the tide is changing here for us to come into seeing the harmony with each other and having that love for each other and recognizing that we're all human beings just trying to do the best that we know how to do.
It's amazing. I love what you're saying. And, you know, you touched on something very deep, which is quantum. Now, if we go into the quantum leap, and I'm not quantum leap, really quantum physics and the quantum realm and the world of, you know, quantum, you know, minute stuff, that's when it gets all fuzzy, because everything that we know, you can take and throw it away because it's not what you know. It's not how it was, not what we've seen.
Yeah.
Completely different. And that's when the world of energy, frequencies, vibrations, the connections, the telepathy stuff, all the stuff that we could not explain becomes very easily explainable. The time, you know, continuum, the space and time connection, the fabric of space, all the stuff becomes one. And it is, you know, it's fascinating because, again, I love these things. I mean, I'm always looking at these things and trying to upgrade my knowledge on them. And it when, again, they all connect. That's the thing. Like, you know, like, again, I refer to the idea that I'm religious, but you probably can think, like, how could you possibly even be religious when you're talking this way? I can, because
you can be both.
I've been able to connect the dots to them, yes, and it works for me. Now, someone can say, well, you're not religious enough, you're not this, whatever, you know, and that we can debate that part too. But the idea is, it's more about whether it's feasible or not. Can I explain? Like, I literally look at the text that I follow and I look at the things and try to find context in the text of the things that I experience in this world. And there is a connection. There is everything that I need there. So it explains to me, you know, so it makes sense for me. But really, it is a fact. Now, you're talking about quantum stuff that is really new to us. I mean, this whole world of this type of level of minute, you know, creation or minute, you know, world space that exists around us. It's all us. You know, you and I, this energy, the lights I have, everything, we all kind of interacting, you know, at this point. And we don't even know it. Like, sometimes you can think of someone when you're close to someone. I say, my wife and I, literally, my kids, they look at us, they're weird, because she looks, I look, and, you know, and we say the same thing at the same time, or I can almost read her thoughts. Like, she's thinking of something, and I'm like, hey, what about this? Like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, by the way, it happens also. You think of someone, they call you.
Fact. Totally. You yes.
know. By the way, these are not, you know, maybe someone can say, well, you know, yeah, there's demonic stuff. Maybe, whatever it is, but it's still connection. So there is some sort of a telecommunication that happens in the cyberspace, you know, of our minds, of the energy level, and it still connects. But at the end of the day, it's working. It's happening. We can't explain it. I mean, we can. If we get deeper into it, we can see it. And in your world, you already are there. You've studied enough. You understand it enough. You practice it enough. So now let's talk about that, because we've exceeded our, but this is an interesting discussion. Like we said, we're just going to go with the flow. But, you know, so how do you work with people, and what kind of services do you offer?
Thanks for circling back to that. Got a little distracted in our conversation, but yeah, so I specialize in the Akashic Records. This is known as the Soul's Library. It's a space of consciousness that we go into. We use a prayer or meditation to access. And so it is a divine space where we leave the ego at the door, no biases, and it just goes into this beautiful, loving space. And I really want to share this story with you as well, because for the listeners, they may be thinking, okay, this is like really weird. Like, I am a clairvoyant. I am clairaudient. I'm clairsentient. I'm claircognizant. That is seeing, hearing, feeling, and knowing. So I can sense things. And that's the intuition piece. And so when I first started doing this work, I struggled with it too, because I thought, well, is this of God? Like, what if this is just the wolf in sheep's clothing? Like, I questioned that a lot. And I was actually working on a book, and I was down in at our place in Mulahae, in the casita in Mulahae, working on my book. And as I'm doing the research, I'm pulling script from the Bible. And it says very clearly, like, prophetic work, mediumship, like any of that woo-woo stuff, like, I'm going to hell. So I'm reading this, and then my heart is sinking. And I'm like, okay, I prayed on it. I said, okay, God, I need you to show me a sign that I am doing work of you. I need you to show me that this is good work and that this is helping people. And no word of a lie, the wind gusted the front door of the casita open. And out in my direct line of sight, across the river on the top of the hill, was a cross that I had never seen before. And I knew that that was God's way of showing me that this was work of the divine, and to not get wrapped up in the fear mongering that some people will try and enforce on me. And so I do use my discernment. I do want to empower people. I use it in a way that allows people to see the truth of who they are. So it's a very sacred and loving space. Some people will call their experience with me a soul massage. And so it's not here to tell you what's going to happen in the future, although we might get some pieces for you to lean into, but it's to help people to remember who they are and to help them deepen their connection with divine and Holy Spirit within themselves. So this is most of my work. I teach people how to do this for themselves. And I love to teach. It is my passion to show people what I know, what I understand about this world. And so that is the basis and the foundation for the work that I do.
Also, so I do have one very deep question here, because when you said, is this work of the divine? Now, when you asked that, was there, because I mean, I would say the devil can also work mystically, you know, and he can be deceptive. You know, have you looked into like whether that could have been a deceptive, you know, image, or how do you kind of really differentiate? I mean, because that's a that's an interesting, you know, moment. And like,
it was. It's very,
like, because you have to like question, like, am I really getting the response, or maybe he just heard what I wanted and gave me what I needed to see?
Yeah.
So how did you differentiate that? Because that's pretty interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. And so, you know, I have this incredible faith inside of me, and I have this very deep relationship with God because of my near-death experiences. And not to say that my relationship is better than anyone else's or anything like that. But I've had a lot of conversations with God about this. I've been in deep prayer and deep experiences where I've really unpacked all of these things. And the way that it's been explained to me, and this might be controversial to some of your listeners, but the way it's been explained to me is that the statements that are in the Bible were to stop the people that were using it maliciously. And there are people in the world that do psychic type of work, and they use it maliciously. I mean, I had a client who was giving the psychic tens of thousands of dollars because the psychic said if she didn't keep working with her, she would never find the love of her life. And so this poor woman had invested tens of thousands of dollars into this person. That is not work of God. And so I know that it's hard for us to differentiate or to discern, but I have such a deep trust and faith in the God that I know that I have no doubts that the work that I'm doing is of divine. I actually have no shadow of a doubt. And in fact, I haven't questioned it since that day.
What do you say to, there's different religions and different scriptures. How do you kind of go there? I mean, I know that's a little, we go into the religious realm, but I'm just curious because you obviously, you know, looked at it from the Christian or Catholic version, but what about Judaism, Islam, you know, Buddhism, Hinduism? Was there anything there that connects it, or is it the same to you, or, I mean, and now?
Yeah. So to me, I see it as essentially the same, in which, you know, I understand that the teachings are there to keep us in humility. I understand the teachings are there to ensure that we do live better quality of lives and do good things in the world. But I also do believe that my God is not a God that is going to cause me to go into fear. And so if I'm going into fear, there is an opportunity for me to dig a little bit deeper. And so that's what I do. If anything comes up that worries me or causes me fear, I'm like, okay, where is this coming from? Is it really true? Right? Again, building that relationship with the ego aspect of myself to understand it more fully. So I'm not saying that I'm right, but I'm saying that I know what my truth is, and this is what I believe, and I'm very convicted, and I'm very confident in that truth. So, you know, when I look at the people I've helped, you know, I don't think in my EMT days I actually saved anybody. I always felt like I got there too late. But I will tell you, in the work that I've done on the spiritual side, I have saved numerous lives. And I've helped numerous people to come to a deeper understanding of who they are. I've helped to reduce their suffering. And I don't think that can be work that is absent of God.
Do you use any kind of meditation specific or even hypnosis or none of that? It's more...
Yeah, so the work that I do ties in. Like I also have my neurolinguistic programming certificate. I do bring in some aspects of meditation. I bring people through meditation journeys, but I do them all through the space of the Akash because it's a very sacred and safe container in which to do this work. And so I'll bring in different methodologies, of course, and also tie in the teachings of metaphysics as well.
All right. And yeah, so that's quite a bit. Well, you know, one last thing. You talked about being clairvoyant and, you know, but you did say that you don't predict the future, because I mean, that sometimes can be a questionable thing. You know, a lot of people may not.
Things change. Energy changes all the time. Right.
So do you believe that, you know, people can see the future, or they can only see what is already occurring?
It's a really loaded question, and we'd have to go down the dimensional timeline rabbit hole there. But, you know, I do get glimpses of things. I have predicted weddings and babies and all sorts of things. However, what I love to do is I tell people that there is an energy of something showing up for them. So, for example, I recently read a client and I said, I feel a business. Do you have a business yet? And they said, no, but I've been thinking about it. I said, okay, great. Here's what I'm picking up from the business. And you have an opportunity to investigate or to be curious about this pathway. But it's never set in stone, right? Because that person might get distracted by this, or they might have to evolve something within themselves. So I never, ever give timelines, because of course there is actually no space and time when it comes to in the quantum realm, right? So, you know, it's really about showing people what's possible. So the way that I see it is being showing people what's possible. I think people that get caught up in, you know, predicting and saying, oh, in a week's time, like so-and-so is going to die, or this is going to happen to you, so don't do that. If we're causing people to go into fear and insecurity, that's not work of the divine. And so the way that I work is that it's an invitation for them to be curious. I'll pick up on a few things and I'll say, okay, if you want to lean into that, great. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. But I'm telling you, if there is a reader or someone that you're experiencing session with and you leave there feeling unsettled and in fear and worried and panicked, then I would just invite you to really lean in and say, is this the right person for me to help me and guide me? Or to go back to that person and be able to ask them, say, hey, I'm feeling really unsettled. Can you help me out here? Because it definitely causes some concern there. It's a red flag that I would say.
Well, so here is a simple thing that, you know, based on the discussion we had today, I mean, if someone really connects directly with the creator, you know, and the divine, they wouldn't even need any of that, you know, trying to figure out with somebody else to tell them what to do and not to do, because
exactly.
They'll be connected directly. So
this is the whole point. I mean, all have the ability to directly connect. And so my job is to just show people that they have the power to do that. I don't want people to come back to me for years. I want them to get the skills and the belief and the knowing and that God-given connection and access so that I'm out of the picture. I'd like to put myself out of a job, to be honest, because I'm not attached to that. What I want to invite people to do is to know that they have the power within them, that they can connect, that they can get the answers. And so that's why most of my focus in my business is to teach people so that they can go and they can have that direct access and that relationship, you know? So that's my mission work. I don't want to hold people hostage to feel like I'm the crutch for them. If I'm doing that, then I'm not serving the highest good.
Oh, it's amazing. But the reality, I mean, I think you broke down to everybody watching and listening right now, the idea that we have a direct access. You don't need the third party. You can literally just, you know, ask and you shall get, you know, and in due time, based on the circumstances, and there are good, there are things good for you, things that, and your intuition, all that stuff gets literally fed right into you if you actually see the connection.
Yeah, if you're open. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, some people reject, you know, believe, and that's on their own, right? I mean, that, by the way, again, you mentioned free will. That's another thing. We have that. People do whatever the hell they want with it. You know, some people don't believe. Yeah. Some people choose to challenge things. But you're right. It's not difficult to connect, you know, and once you do, it is a beautiful thing because things will manifest your way.
Absolutely will. Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, I have a whole different belief system, but where I'm in agreement with you, because that connection, we all have that. We can do it. We don't need to do anything more than just trying to connect with, and you said it, we all have from our creation that same energy level and same connection. You know, it's amazing, like, how we don't even look at these things that way, because no matter what, I'm not saying this, I'm not generalizing. Obviously, there are a lot of people out there that are in connection, you know, through their faith, through their belief, through their religion. And, you know, some people are completely in denial, or they refuse that. I mean, there are people that say there is no divine, you know, there is no, you know, creator, there is no higher energy. And by the way, again, we have the ability to say yes or no, or accept or not accept. But here's the thing. You talked about living a better life and a heavenly life, and you would probably have a better life when you're connected than if you're not.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's funny. I give the analogy to my kids sometimes, like, well, you want to connect, you know, to the internet, right? You need the connection. You need Wi-Fi. You need the modem. You know, if you don't create a connection, there is no connection. There's
tools. Some of us need the tools. And that's where my work comes in, because I give people the tools, you know, to get out of their own way, to see that they themselves have this divine connection. You know, I often give the analogy, like, if I put my hand on my face, I can't read my palm. It's too close to me. And so this is a challenge a lot of people have, is like, they ask a question of God, but they're so close to it that the ego gets in the way and they can't really see the truth of the answer. And so that's why there are people like me to just help us to discern, help us to see a bigger picture and to get out of our own way. But you're right. This is all for us. And again, the invitation's wide open from divine to say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. You want to lean in or not?
Well, you know, it's one thing that you said earlier that probably as an exercise for everyone to do. And the idea is to kind of like back off a little bit and just
be the witness.
Yeah. Look at things. You know, I think that's the thing. We don't take a moment. We don't take a deep breath. We don't stop. We don't pause, you know, before we act. And we don't kind of step back a little bit and kind of question things. And that's the thing. If people start breathing better, posing, taking a minute before you make a reaction on anything, you will probably have a better outcome in anything that you do, and your connection will be a lot stronger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe we can like weave that spirituality in, you know, we can pause every now and then to take that breath and to find stillness, you know, even in this very distracted, overstimulated world that we live in. There are moments that we pause, and in creating that space is actually creating space for divine to come in. So you're absolutely right about that.
Well, listen, I mean, Rose, we took a lot of your time today, but...
We did. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe where time went. Holy smokes.
It went quick. So I apologize for that, but it just this is one of the topics that is very touchy and feely, and, you know, and it gets a little people, you know, a little bit, you know, funky, but it is a topic that exists, that sometimes needs to be addressed. And yes, I mean, there's work that's being done to help with this. And so, so your site is rosehope.com.
.ca. I'm in Canada, so it's rosehope.ca.
Well,
and
okay.
you can certainly learn more about me there. And yeah, in the show note links, we're going to have the links for my book, The Ark, which talks about a girl who goes on a journey of discovery into what we might consider more of a heavenly realm. And she learns a bunch of information there. So it's a beautiful story. And of course, you know, there's an opportunity for people if they want to lean into deeper discovery. I've got a couple free opportunities that people can lean into if they want to be curious. It's open door for people to lean in. So those will be in the links.
And the name of the podcast?
Oh, and my podcast, it's called When Spirit Calls. So it's okay. All about when spirit calls us and gives us those nudges. And so we bring in people with all sorts of stories, you know, much like, you know, some of the stories, like the Riptide story that you have, you know, people that share these stories where they were guided to go in one direction instead of another direction. So, you know, just reminding people that spirit's always calling us. It's our choice if we want to listen.
All right. Well, listen. You know, it's been real. You know, we spent a great moment today and shared a lot of insights here. So thank you so much for being with us and for enlightening our audiences and giving them a different spin on things. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of angles in this world. And, you know, sometimes you just want to hear different ways. And even if you don't believe, at least it gives you information that is available to you that, you know, you can contrast with, you can help with, you can, you know, explore more, whatever the case may be. So that's it. Any last words of wisdom you want to leave our audiences with?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being open to this conversation, because I know that it can be controversial. And, you know, again, it's about just shining some light on just other perspectives out there. So I thank you so much for having me, even though I might be considered a little bit woo-woo nowadays. So thank you for that. And I suppose the last thing I want to invite people in on is just to remind them that in every given moment, they have everything they need and then some. If they're willing to open their hearts to receiving it, it's all there for us.
That's something. I mean, really. So thank you so much. It's really fun to have this discussion. Yes, you're right. It is a bit on the controversial side, and a lot of people get a little tense about, you know, discussions about this. But the idea is that, you know, again, there's two ways to look at it. One is to reinforce whatever you believe in, and that's the case, because this can actually be a good way to. It's like, you know, doing your test, and you're like, no, I
validate. Yeah,
validate whatever it is. Or if you're not sure, this can open up a whole different realm for you, as we're talking about realms here. So hey, you know, do your thing. But certainly you have angles that you can kind of use this to your advantage. And even just basic knowledge. I mean, it's always good to know, like, what's out there, you know, what's going on.
Absolutely.
But that's about it. So we're coming to the end of the show, folks. So American Age, we'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic. Bye for now.